spirit, indestructible. Mary Baker Eddy is the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science. And she's the author of the book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. The entire book is about Christian Science and titled Science and Health, but the latter part of it is titled Key to the Scriptures. And that begins with chapter 15 through the end of the book of 18 chapters. And in the glossary, which is part of the Key to the Scriptures portion of the book, she states the definition of God as follows. God, the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. In the chapter 14, entitled Recapitulation, which is the final chapter of the first part of the book, Science and Health, she asks the question, what is God? And she answers it with the following. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. As was just stated, both in the second part of the book, Key to the Scriptures, which is designed to enable the proper interpretation of the Bible, and in Science and Health, the first part of the textbook, she clearly states that God is spirit. In the definition from Recapitulation, she states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Incorporeal states the opposite of what most people think of as substance. Spirit is defined by Mary Baker Eddy as substance, the only substance. Matter, or the belief that there is matter, or the belief that there is something that is substance that is the opposite of spirit, is not real. If God is spirit, and spirit is the only substance, then anything contrary to spirit is unreal. What we see is either a symbol of God manifested in a visible form, which means that it must be reflecting the qualities of God and nothing less than the qualities of God, or what we see that is visible is a reminder that we need to be focusing on the counterfact or the truth of reality. In other words, the true substance, which is spirit. Noah Webster, in the 1828 dictionary, defined spirit as the soul of man the intelligent, immaterial, and immortal part of human beings. An immaterial, intelligent substance. Spirit is a substance in which thinking, knowing, doubting, and a power of moving do subsist. And he quotes both 1 Peter and John from the Bible, stating that it is an immaterial, intelligent being by which he went and preached to the spirit in prison. Noah Webster, therefore, is defining spirit as being immaterial, intelligent, substance, and it enables thinking and knowing and a power of moving. And he's quoting both from the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, as well as the New Testament from 1 Peter and John. Based on the Christian calendar, Mary Baker Eddy was only 8 years old when the 1828 dictionary was written. Therefore, there was no opportunity to include what she had discovered about spirit. But even without that, Noah Webster's definition makes it very clear that it is incorporeal, stating it in several of the numbered paragraphs in his definition of spirit. So it's clear that there's no doubt that he is defining it as immaterial and also as substance. What about indestructible? Noah Webster defines indestructible as that which cannot be destroyed, incapable of decomposition as a material substance. So a material substance can both decompose and be destroyed, but something indestructible cannot be. So anything material does not line up with what spirit represents. Therefore, the title was chosen for this recording to be Spirit Indestructible. From John chapter 4 in the King James Version of the Bible, it states that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Noah Webster also did not have the benefit of the translation that J.B. Phillips did, which was 100 years later. The light that J.B. Phillips sheds on the same Bible verse that was just read, he states that God is spirit, and those who worship him can only worship him in spirit and in reality. By the way, these are words that Jesus spoke that John recorded. These are not words coming directly from John. According to the J.B. Phillips translation, Jesus is stating that, number one, God is spirit, and number two, that spirit is the only reality. Matter, in other words, is unreal. And of course, this is the primary resistance to accepting Christian Science. Because Mary Baker Eddy clearly states that matter is unreal. In the Scientific Statement of Being, Mary Baker Eddy states, there is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter. That's basically saying what Noah Webster stated. He said intelligence is spirit. Jesus states that spirit is the reality. So the billions of people that believe in matter as being real and unilaterally reject the truth that matter is unreal do not even read or understand what they're reading when Jesus says that spirit is the reality. Since spirit is the reality, matter cannot be real. Imagine what planet Earth would be like if the atmosphere projected by the thoughts of the 8 billion people that exist on planet Earth would be promoting the truth that spirit is the reality. It would bring forth the new heaven and the new earth right here, right now. Forget about war and the threat of destruction by nuclear weapons. Noah Webster himself states, that which is incapable of destruction or decomposition, such as a material substance. So even he, who preceded Mary Baker Eddy, makes it clear. And what about Einstein, who was involved in the development of the atomic bomb and also was one of the primary ones involved in breaking down the atom to discover the smallest particle, and therefore assisted in the discovery and understanding of what quantum mechanics was all about, wherein it came to the conclusion, that is the study of the atom, breaking it down in quantum mechanics, brought forth the conclusion that there is no matter and that what we see as matter is energy that is vibrating at a high rate of speed or rotating, moving at a high rate of speed. And yet, some 80 years before all of this was brought to light by geniuses such as Einstein and other scientists working on the project, even though it was made public, the lie upon lie that has been compounded throughout history by humanity fills into the atmosphere this false universal belief, such that a newborn babe has the most innocence of everyone. because it has not been subjected year after year and decade after decade of the false belief, other than the universal belief about having a material birth. This even clarifies what the word birth means, bringing forth. Getting back to Einstein for a moment, he stated about Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, "Blessed art thou, because everything that really is in this book." And he also stated that imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. And remember, when Mary Baker Eddy was visible on planet Earth, women could not even vote or own property. They were definitely considered second-class citizens. And of course, in Jesus' time, when he was preaching to the multitude, they counted only men. They did not count women and children. So when Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science, not only was she fighting the universal belief that matter is real, but she was fighting the class of a woman compared to a man, being a second-class citizen. That's one of the reasons that she had such difficulty with all of the people that were administrators in the church. She would appoint people that she thought would be competent, but there was this overhanging universal belief that men should be running everything. So here they were reporting to a woman, Mary Baker Eddy, who couldn't legally own property and couldn't vote. This is one of the reasons that it seems that the quality of intelligence was assigned to the male gender. However, Mary Baker Eddy makes it clear that man is a generic term with neither male nor female gender, but the qualities of godlikeness from both of what are considered those two genders. So a complete person, individual reflection of God, is one that is reflecting both the male characteristics of strength and courage and what was assigned as intelligence, as well as the female characteristics of the love and tenderness and nurturing, the mothering qualities. It was previously mentioned about war, nuclear weapons, atomic bomb, and so forth. If we have a clear enough understanding about substance and that it is indestructible, it is incorporeal, immaterial, and not even visible except through symbols, which although they can be damaged as a visible symbol, the underlying fact about them cannot be damaged, cannot be destructed or destroyed or decomposed. One of the extremely disappointing things in humanity is the news. Because the mainstream media is driven by the encouragement to excite a belief in life, truth, and intelligence in matter. The emotion is the victim, because that's exactly what the industry feels brings about sales of their product, which is news. So everything is sensationalized. They create sensation for the purpose of making sales, even if there is no sensationalism involved in the topic on which they are reporting. Again, this is a belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. In this case, the matter is profit, income, revenue. Therefore, we must be on alert, just as Mary Baker Eddy states that we must guard our door of thought as we would against thieves and murderers. Because that's exactly what the belief is. That there are thieves and murderers that can steal our good thoughts and murder them. In other words, the belief is that error can destroy truth. Good can be destroyed by error, by evil. Susan Mack, one of the wonderful songwriters, artists that is featured on the website under the category of music, has written many songs to Bible verses, as well as performed existing hymn tunes. And the lyrics that she wrote to one of her beautiful songs is that the opposite of good is not evil, but illusion, false impression. And that's such a beautiful way to consider what is visible. If it is not something that is reflecting 100% godlike characteristics, that it is illusion. Same thing Kurt Russell said when he was speaking on the topic of his life versus his acting career. And he said that movies are fantasy land. Wentworth Winslow was one of the more successful healers since Mary Baker Eddy's time, and he healed the same kind of things that Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy healed, including the belief of death. One of his patients had passed on while he was treating the patient, and he brought it back to life. through his spiritual understanding of life. The reason I brought up his name was that in one of his many articles, he stated that we should consider ourselves in a room that has both a telephone and a radio. This was, you know, about 75 or 80 years ago. It's before we had the technology that we have now, where we have instant communication around the world by just tapping a few keys on a computer or a cell phone. But he said, consider yourself being in a room with a radio and a telephone, and the radio is tuned in to the station KOG, representing Kingdom of God. And it was broadcasting continuously without interruption. All about God, all the qualities, all the features of God, and what God had shown us in visible form. And the feelings that we gain from it, which are in invisible forms. And consider the telephone that is ringing constantly, just like God, continuously, without interruption. He said, but with that, you have a choice of whether you pick it up and take it in, or you refute its reality as it is making its suggestion with the phone ringing. I mean, the phone rings and you can fill in the blank on what it's trying to suggest. The door is wide open. As stated previously, lie upon lie has been compounded throughout the history of mankind. And it's all out there in the universal atmosphere. And it's up to us individually what frequency we are going to use. Are we going to use the frequency of the Kingdom of God or the frequency of the false belief? Reminds me of the story of the good and bad gardener who lived next to each other. And the bad gardener would steal plants from the good gardener, because he was unsuccessful at gardening. So he would steal it from the one who had the most premium plants around. And when the good gardener was queried by a friend about, well, what do you do about this next door neighbor gardener that is stealing from you and wrecking your garden, taking things out here and there? He said, he's my best friend. He said, oh, how is that? And the good gardener said, he is a constant reminder of what I don't want to be. So it boils down to viewpoint. If we have a challenge, how are we going to view it? Are we going to view it in a spiritual light, looking through the spiritual lens, making sure our thought is pure, and replacing anything that is viewed as impure with the counterfact, like the good gardener did? So, well, that's my best friend because it reminds me of what I should be doing, should be thinking. And of course, we want to make sure it is impersonal, Mary Baker Eddy stated that her most phenomenal healings were when she got Mary out of the way. And one of the definitions of God that was stated is that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting and all-wise, all-loving and eternal. So God is that, not a person, nor can a person be evil. It is the view that is evil. Are we going to be like Kurt Russell and say, well, that's fantasy land, so that's not the life I'm going to live? I'm not going to look upon that person as an evil person? Jesus gave most of his teachings through parables so that they would be impersonal. Stamp and Moss are two very fine advanced students of Christian Science, and they interpreted spiritually every single one of Jesus' 41 parables. What an education that is to study their works. That's on the website. That was how Jesus communicated to the world, through an impersonal way, teaching lessons without naming people, without trying to attach it to an individual character. Considering spirit to be the only substance, what can one think about when they become aware that the beautiful Amazon rainforest has been under attack time and again with destructive elements? Destruction does not happen independent of exterior efforts. Everything is a false flag. Every destructive thing is a false flag. In other words, it is a falsity of some type. Doesn't matter whether there is one person involved or 100 or 1,000 people, or whether machines are involved operated by people, or whether machines are involved that are remotely controlled. But there is a belief of discord that is involved, which sets off everything that is labeled as a catastrophe. And yes, they're very, very sad. It was reported just today that 20% of the rainforest in Brazil and the surrounding areas there, 60% of the rainforest is in Brazil, that 20% of the entire rainforest of South America has been destroyed by fire. 20%. And of course, to believe that is the source of life for man, because the oxygen comes forth from vegetation, and the vegetation absorbs the carbon dioxide of the atmosphere. So what a beautiful thing is vegetation for the life cycle of humanity. It's like water. I mean, water is so valuable. It is used for cleaning, for refreshment, to drink. It is used to make the strongest building materials, such as concrete. Steel by itself doesn't work. They use concrete foundations for the steel, for building these tall buildings. The duty of a student of Christian Science is to not recognize the strength of steel or concrete or the value of water. None of these should be considered with a material viewpoint, but with the spiritual nature that they are a symbol, that they're representing these symbols. If we see a sports individual, sportsman, sportswoman, whatever, and we see the performance being really at a fine level, or an artist, a pianist, conductor, anyone, no matter what task they are doing, if they are doing it to perfection in a human way, we should be appreciating the spiritual nature in which they're representing a symbol of that spiritual nature. The beauty that we see in a landscape or the sky, beautiful cloud formations, coloring, butterflies, whatever it is, we should be searching for the spiritual quality that it is representing. Because the more we can get our thought off of a material representation and on to the true nature that is responsible for it, then the closer we are to recognizing eternity and eternal life, permanency. With the rainforest fires destroying all this beautiful and important vegetation, that is a very vivid example of how we must be thinking about what real substance is. Where does our life come from? Does it come from the Amazon rainforest? Or the plants in our own garden or landscape? Or in a park that we happen to be walking through or going there to have a pleasant time? And the water that is used for so many things, from, as mentioned, from washing our hands to drinking, refreshments, to building strong concrete. And remember, water can erode the hardest surface known. Just lay it in a, put it, you know, have it in a stream of running water and see what happens to it. Water will rust steel. Water will smooth out rocks, sharp edges. Turn it into pebbles in the bottom of the river. All of these are qualities of God. And they're manifested in a multitude of forms. Mary Baker Eddy defined God in part as infinite mind. It's easy to understand why the word infinite relates to the word mind, because even from a human standpoint, we can think of being in one location in one instant, and the next instant being in another location that is any number of miles away that one wants to think. You could think about being on a planet that is light years away, instantly. There's no limitation to thought. And the more one cultivates the spiritual thought, the more one can relate to the infinite. Spirit is such an interesting synonymous term for God. And we must remember that all of these synonymous terms that Mary Baker Eddy includes in her definitions of God, and also the Bible, they interact with each other. Just as a short, quick summary, some of the outstanding qualities of mind that Mary Baker Eddy uses in her writings is intelligence, wisdom, knowing, creativeness, power, presence, omniscience, action. And in spirit, they were already mentioned, some of the key components, which are pureness, transparency, reflection. Soul are deemed to be the senses, and since spirit is the only substance, then they are spiritual senses. So our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling should all be in light of looking through the lens of spirit. Are we seeking the spiritual nature of what we're looking at, or what we're hearing, or what we're feeling, or tasting, or smelling? Because it's there. That's the only reality, is spirit, as has been discussed in this recording. And what about principle? Principle represents system and structure. And when we have a proper structure and system, then we have balance and harmony. And Mary Baker Eddy uses the word love frequently with principle. And love represents wholeness and completeness, nurturing, the mothering qualities, as well as other ones that were mentioned of kindness and tenderness and consideration, thoughtfulness, and so forth. But it's completeness. And it is also the term that includes the quality of plan and design, indicating that our plan and design better be one that is encompassing, nurturing all of the other qualities. So the plan and design has to be an intelligent, wise, and knowing plan, and the design has to be comprehensive to include all of the qualities. So the system and structure of principle has to be an intelligent and wise and knowing principle, structure, system. And it has to be one that is in accordance with the plan and design of love. Think of love as a lubricant that makes everything else work together, removes all the belief of friction, and replaces it with the reality of harmony, smoothness, correctness, perfection. Life is living all of the qualities of God. How much life do we want to have? Well, we can have as much life as we live the qualities of God. If we live the qualities of God 100%, we have eternal life. Truth, think about a court of law. On a human level, if there is no motive, then one is innocent. Or if the motive is wholesome, then one is deemed to be innocent. If the motive is evil, sorry, but it's guilty. Guilty of evil acts. So motive is a primary element of truth. And consciousness is, of course, the tool that houses the motive. So the consciousness, which includes the motive, is the engine for the actions. Truth is the opposite of error. There's no truth in 2 times 3 equals 7. You can't make it 6.9 or 5.9 or 6.1. You cannot know an error. You cannot know that 2 times 3 equals 8 or 5 or anything other than 6. You cannot know it because you cannot know something that is false. You can only be fooled. You can only be tricked, deceived. You're out in fantasy land. And even though we think of math as being a principle that is all-encompassing, it's not. It's not. What is the smallest measurement of time? It's not a number, because any number can be divided into a smaller part or multiplied into a larger part. So numbers can neither express the minimum nor the maximum. The word moment expresses the minimum amount of time. Infinity expresses the maximum amount, which means that there is no maximum and there is no minimum, because moment is measured as or expressed as the smallest element of time. So it's in words, it's not in numbers. The same with music. Music has a principle and all of the rules that go together with the, you know, the notes and the chords and the keys and everything. But who knows the number of songs that can be written? There are 8 billion people out there. Every single one of them could write their own song, and they would be different if they started from scratch. If they didn't try to compose a song that sounded like something else that they had heard, and they start from scratch with an original idea, every single one of the 8 billion songs that could be written by the 8 billion population of planet Earth would be different. So a number cannot express the maximum. Only the word infinite, which has no maximum. So substance is not mathematics. Substance is not music. Substance is spirit. God is spirit. There is no substitute for reality. And the substance of reality is spirit. Amen.